Hey, we're going to get to it. John killed it last week. If you were not here, please go listen to the podcast. What's a podcast? Talk to John afterwards. He'll explain to you what a podcast is. No, it's the message recorded. It's on our website. Or if you are a person that loves to go to, you know, iTunes and all that, you can find it on there as well. It's Crosswater Community Church, not the one in Florida, this one. They have good stuff too. Get theirs as well. But John talked about the fact that Jesus is unapologetically exclusive. Wow. I thought we said that he is for everyone. He is. He's both. Here's what John said. You might be saying, wait a second. I thought the big idea was that Jesus is for everyone, but now you're saying he's unapologetically exclusive. Yep. It's true. Both of them. And that was a powerful word from John. Just in the very beginning, Jesus is for everybody who will want to be saved. And it's him that stirs that up in us. If you remember back to the shindig, and I think there was a few of you there, that we are dead in our sins. We weren't having a hard time swimming. We weren't like going down for the count. Family, we were dead at the bottom of the lake. And Jesus came to us when we were dead in our transgressions and gave us life. And that faith that we could believe in him and that initiation and that clear is all from him. And you and I get to live that out by grace. And then we live it out and we live it out and we live it out every single day. And some of you are and some of you aren't. And so I'm going to say to you, Jesus is exclusive like a gas engine is exclusive. Could you imagine if I rolled up to a gas station in Oregon, because they don't fill it up for you here, really. But you roll up, and you're like, hey, put some water in it. Like, what, in your radiator? No, no, no. Put it in the engine. You know, just put it right there in the gas tank. Put some water in it. Could you imagine the look I would get? Could you imagine? No, no, that'll wreck your engine. Don't limit me on my options. I'm going to put some water in there. This is a gas engine, sir. You need to put gas in. What do you want the good stuff? You want the medium good stuff? Do you want as cheap as you can get? No, I want you to put water in it. And they would be kind enough to say, no, I'm not putting gas or water in your gas engine. Jesus is exclusive in that way. I am not telling you there's a bunch of different ways to find God. You can definitely come to a bunch of different ways where you find Jesus, but check this out in John 14, 6. Jesus says this rather exclusively, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you believe that? Do you believe he's the only way? Or do you believe he's one of many? I like him. It's comfortable. It's kind of been the stream I've been in. Because he's very uncomfortable. He's unapologetic. Let's look at what that looks like, and John had this up last week. Unapologetic is putting something forward, usually an opinion, a statement, or an idea, without apology or qualification. He's unapologetically exclusive. He does not pretend with us. He doesn't say, you know what? I'm a pretty good idea. You know what? I want to give you life, but if you don't really want it, you don't have to take it. I mean, seriously, you do get to choose, but he's saying, if you want life, it's me, and you can't find it anywhere else. If you want to have relationship with God, it's through me. I'm the way, the truth, the life. Not a pretty good idea or one of the better examples. The. And so John talked about Jesus being the stronger man. That the enemy isn't stronger than him. That nobody is stronger than him. And he asked a question that I want to ask you again this morning, not just because some of us weren't here, but because it stands to be asked. Are you amazed by Jesus? Yeah. Are you amazed by who he is? And what he does, what he's done to you, through you, around you. Maybe you look and you go like my little boy Toby when he was 4. I want what my sisters have. Like, explain that to me, bro. What
Well, they talked about relationship with Jesus. I want that.
Look, it was a long time ago that I was a youth pastor, and this team that's on the serve trip, they're coming home tomorrow. It was 21 years ago, this very time, that I went down there, and a lot of cool stuff happened. One of the cool things that happened is I heard a man talk about hearing all about Napoleon Dynamite. It wasn't on that trip, but it was in youth ministry. And I was like, Napoleon Dynamite, what? He goes, man, people are quoting it all over the place. And they even had shirts that said, vote for Pedro. And I kept hearing people say, lucky, and things like that. And he goes, and he said, now this is his words. He says, I'm a black man. And so as a black man, what I'm about to tell you would make me lose my black card. And I'm just like, what in the world? And he said this. So many people talked about Napoleon Dynamite and quoted Napoleon Dynamite that I felt like I was missing out. So this is what he said can make him lose his black card. He went and watched Napoleon Dynamite. He said, that's 2 hours I'll never get back. I wasted those hours. He said, but they were living and they were evangelizing about Napoleon Dynamite so much that I had to go see it. Are you that amazed about Jesus that you can't keep him to yourself? Or are you afraid to give that exclusivity message to people like, look, he's the only way. He'll take you right where you're at, but he won't leave you there. He's the only way to God. He's the only hope. Are you a little afraid of that? Because that sounds, well, unapologetically exclusive. Or do you want to help people? Look, this morning I'm going to tell you some things that you've probably already heard or thought about. But I'm going to start with this. If you're looking for a sign, Jesus is the greatest sign. Well, can you do this for me? And can you do that for me? And anybody who's been in the Bible enough, you know that there's a guy named Gideon that asked for a sign, and then he asked for another one, and then he asked for another one, and then he asked for another one. And God was gracious, and he gave him all those signs. But the best sign was that he came and spoke to him directly. But that wasn't enough. Hey, you calling me a dude? I'm the weakest dude of the weakest clan. I'm a weenie of weenies, and you're telling me I'm going to win? It was the Lord in his presence, and that wasn't enough for him. And you're going to see that that wasn't enough for the people where Jesus was at and talking to them. And I'm going to ask you, is he enough for you? And if he isn't, then today's a great day to repent. Today's a great day to stop playing footsies with the King of Kings. Today is a great day to recognize that he is the greatest sign. And his preaching is the greatest preaching. So, if you will, join me in Luke 11. We're going to go 29 through the end of it, which is 54. And I'm going to jump a little bit. I have a lot that's on my heart. I haven't preached for 2 weeks. Sorry. Here we go. I mean, woe to me if I don't. I mean, I've preached. Who am I kidding? I met with my friend, and he hadn't been to church in a while. And you know what he said to me? Gosh, thanks for bringing church. And I was like, bro, I'm not the church, and yet I am, and so are you. I said, you could be preaching. He goes, I know, and I preach, but you were preaching. I'm like, sorry, it's been a minute for me. So with regards to the greatness of God, will you look for him as the greatest sign? So you might remember Pastor John finished with this verse. It's Luke 11:28. I've got 11:29 is where I'm starting. But 11:28, Jesus says to this lady, he says, oh, your mama must be blessed because she gave birth to you and she nursed you. And Jesus said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Now, what Jesus says is blessed. You're truly most happy when you're in Jesus. Try a bunch of other things and then get back to us. But if you've already tried a bunch of things and you know that Jesus is truly where life is at, would you raise your hand? Would you live that out? I know that some of you really are. 29, after that, the crowds were increasing. This is normally, in church circles, a good thing. We count. We want to see how many people are here. We want to see the crowd increasing. But Jesus is a true church growth expert. And so this is what he says to the increasing crowds. This generation is an evil generation. That's not a great church growth like concept for us. You don't really get up and go, you smell like sin. You're evil, right? We don't usually do that. Well, be careful. Tell them the good news. The good news is actually bad news first. Y'all need help. You need Jesus. Our friend Larry, his grandpa has a shirt that says, y'all need Jesus. And if you go to Walmart, you could get one too. But it's true. We need Jesus. And Jesus is like, this is an evil generation, the generation he's talking to. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. You better remember Jonah's story. Okay, in a fish, because he's trying to run away from God. Now, there's a lot of stuff, and in Matthew, Jesus talks a little bit different description of how he's the sign of Jonah and how Jonah is a sign. But in here, I want you to look for what he says, what he says the sign of Jonah is. It wasn't the fish, and it wasn't the 3 days. It was different. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, which was an evil, evil group of people, so will the Son of Man, Jesus himself, he's referring to himself in the third person, like a great athlete, right? So will the Son of Man be to this generation. Wow. Hold on now. The Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. This Queen of Sheba heard about Solomon and how amazing he was. So she just showed up with this big retinue. Look that word up. It's a big group of people and stuff. And she wanted to hear this guy and she wanted to bless this guy. But more importantly, she wanted to be blessed by him. So not having ever met him before, she shows up from a long ways away to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And people knew the wisdom of Solomon. Now later on, Solomon became super dumb and did super dumb things. But he had wisdom that was given to him from God. And for a time, he honored God with it. But she showed up just to see him. And he says, something greater than Solomon is here. Anybody know who the something greater than Solomon is? Jesus. Okay, we're in church. Is that a girl? Is that a boy? It's Jesus. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment, back to Jonah again, with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. What was the sign of Jonah? It was 3 days, but in this, Jesus says, it's preaching. Jonah showed up unwanting, but repentant, okay. And he walks among these people. It took 3 days to walk across this town. And he says to him, repent, because you're about to get smoked. And they did. Jesus, who's greater than Jonah, shows up, all these miracles, tells him he's the way, the truth, and the life, points out that only God could do the things he's doing. Last week, Pastor John talked about the finger of God doing what he was doing. Only God could do that. A little shout out to Exodus 8, where for a minute, the priests of Pharaoh could do the things that Moses was doing. But then he took off from there, and nobody else could do it. And what these priests said, this is the finger of God. They didn't even honor Yahweh, but they knew that he alone could do what was happening. We often want something we can put our hands on, we can box up, we can say, this is what happened, and this is how it happened. I love testimonies. Those are important. But you and I cannot box up the grace of God. You cannot sell it. You cannot make Aaron Day Ministries. Dun, da, da, da. It's Jesus Christ and him alone. And he says so. He's exclusive, friends. He's not trying to leave us wondering, should I put water in that or should I put gas? Should I follow Jesus or should I follow me? Or should I follow Buddha? Or should I follow my flesh or my girlfriend's flesh or anything else other than Jesus? Boy, he is not unaware of who he is. I love that Jesus is unapologetic in his exclusivity because he wants people to live. And not just heart beating live, but live forever in right relationship with God and others. And so here's the beauty. He doesn't give us much of an option. Pastor John said it last week. I'll say it to you again. It's either the kingdom of God or a different kingdom. What is it for you? Is it the kingdom of the devil? Is it the kingdom of man? Or is it the kingdom of God? And will you remind me, church? I know we're here, but who's the king in the kingdom of God? Jesus. So I have a question for you, and we're going to head into this. Light or darkness? What do you prefer? Okay, do you? Let me ask you this. What do you prefer when you're sleeping? Me too. I have a little girl that's like straight up, the neighbor's light is coming through the curtain. I can't do a thing about that. Turn your head. It's just not that easy. You guys, but when you are wanting to do your thing, you prefer darkness. When you and I want our flesh to be satisfied, we prefer darkness. When we want just things to go away, we might ask for light. We have police officers in this room, and I'll remember forever, probably until I get something of Alzheimer's or whatever. Okay. She's like, don't speak it into existence, but let me say to this, my body is not perfect, but one day it will be. But I remember 20 plus years ago, an officer saying to me, Aaron, do you like it when firefighters show up or EMT show up? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. He says, why? I said, because I need their help. He says, do you like it when cops show up? I said, depends if I called them or not. Do you like light or darkness? We should always like light. But light exposes what's wrong. It sheds light on what's right. Jesus is about to get at light and darkness. And I would ask you, do you want him to expose the darkness and the evil of other people and leave yours alone? I mean, not everything. I mean, give me a break. I'm only human. Or do you want him to have his way in you, right here, right now? Because, friends, he's calling you out. I am not the Holy Spirit. I don't know all the things that are going on in your life that need exposing and need light. I don't know where you're hiding in the darkness. But God does. Let's go to Luke 11:33. And I forgot to tell you, there's Bibles and lots of them all around you. If you don't have a Bible, please grab one. It's yours. Use it, live it out, wear it out, or you can look at it on the screen, or you might have it on your phone or your tablet. And I'm not assuming you're texting if you're on your phone. Okay. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket. That makes sense. You want it to give light, right? But you put it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it's bad, your whole body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. I want to talk about this for a long time, but I'm going to simply say this, and this sounds really kind of basic. But when your eyes are good, you can see well. When they're bad, you can't. So let me give you a visual. Pretty good. What is that? You guys, We live in a culture that says what's wrong is right. And what's right is wrong. All the stuff from the Bible was for people a long time ago. It's not for us. There's a great teaching about generosity, and you have a good eye if you're generous and all that. Please go and look in that, and that's good. I think the application here is really simple. Light is good. Darkness is not. If you find yourself being drawn to the darkness and feeding your flesh, you're human, and you need the light. His name is Jesus. Let him in. Let him in. And so now we transition from light and dark to inside and outside. Look, it wasn't too long ago in my life that I had all these cliches and all these things that I said because I had been saying them for a long time. And I still do that a bunch, but they've kind of transitioned. But this inside-outside thing has been huge in my life for a long time. And so I want to remind you that Jesus doesn't change you from the outside in. He changed you from the inside out. When we were at Cascade, that was a big deal for us. It was inside out. You're changed from the inside out, and you're going to get it out. You're going to show the world. Jesus started with that. I used to work in the shipyard, and that was before I could get a hernia for lifting things. I was young. And when I was there, I don't know. Thanks, Samuel. Attaboy. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, here we go. There, I was 19 to 21 years old. I was there for almost 3 years. And I used to wear my sweats inside out. And I was waiting for people to ask me why. So I could tell them that Jesus was changing me from the inside out. And I was such a nerd, and nothing has changed. I was just, I was straight up dad joking. And I was a dad at 19, but I was just a dad to one. I wasn't Father Abraham yet, right? I was on my way. But here's what I want to remind you, that whether you wear your clothes inside out or not, dear friend, if you're in Christ, he's changing you from the inside out. Everything starts there on the inside. There's sometimes I will sit up here and I'm not feeling it so much to just get up and raise my hands and sing and even dance. And this one guy says, dude, you are so distracting. And I'm like, quit watching me. Look up there. Quit looking at me. And so I'm up here because I get easily distracted. But there's times when I'm up here faking because I know I need to engage God. And so I'll kind of put my hands up and I'm trying. But I'm also worried about what you think. I'm worried about, oh, the pastor normally gets up and does his little thing, right? Well, why isn't he feeling it today? Must be something wrong. You're like, it's wrong when you dance. That's what's wrong. But whatever. I want to tell you that Jesus came at me hardcore this week on this one. Yeah, he's going after the Pharisees for being fakes and religious big boys to make it look good. And he's like, you got to work on the inside, and only God can actually do that kind of surgery. But for me, I don't want to pretend. I want you to see who I am. I want you to know that I need Jesus just like you. Just like you. And some of you are like, I already know that. Cool. Some of you have got me on a pedestal, and dear friend, I'll fall off that thing every single time. I'm not Jesus. Only Jesus is. So I should probably get my Bible because it's got the words of God in it. That almost hurt when I went up there. Here we go. Luke 11:37-44, from the inside to the outside. How's Jesus working on you? While Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. Do you guys remember why Pharisees were inviting him? They wanted to trap him. They wanted to catch him up in what he was saying because he was real convicting. He was shedding light on things, and that was a bummer. Hey, let's snatch him up, because nobody's perfect, except this dude, because he's Jesus. He's God in the flesh. So a Pharisee asked him to dine with him, and so he went in, and he reclined at table. The Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not first wash before dinner. That was a requirement for them. You've got to be clean. You can't be unclean. It's bad. And for us, we're like, it just makes sense. You're out working. You want to wash your hands. You don't want to get junk on your food. And the Lord says to him, now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish. And at that point, they're probably thinking, ha, he noticed. See, this rabbi knows you do all the religious things that you need to do. But inside, you are full of greed and wickedness. In Mark 7, 14 through 21, Jesus says, it's not what goes into your body that makes you unclean, it's what comes out. And then he lists all these sins. You need to be changed from the inside out, Jesus says. You fools, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give as alms, give as your gifts those things that are within. And behold, everything is clean for you. He's saying, repent. Get rid of the nastiness inside of you that's so easy. Well, of course I work under the table. It's kind of difficult. Greed, idolatry, sexual sin. Where's your list at? What are the things? Well, I mean, God knows my heart. I mean, it's like I'm committed to God. Nobody's perfect. We're not asking for perfection. We're asking for you to be honest about what's going on inside and that you need help and quit taking shortcuts. Quit trying to change the outside and look pretty good on the outside and the inside, well, filled with greed and all kinds of stuff. Woe to you, Pharisees. He goes on and on with woes, so listen. You tithe, that means give 10% of your garden, mint and rue and every herb, and yet you neglect justice and the love of God or mercy. These you ought to have done, the justice and the love of God, without neglecting the tithing of your mint. How often, just on tithing alone, I don't know how many of you tithe from your garden. We have some sweet produce for you, however, and enjoy that. But I don't know how many of you do that, but I know that a number of you are working on tithing and giving 10% of what you have off the top because God gave it to you. But some of us make excuses. It's really hard for me to be able to do that. I've got a lot of things. Not only do I have debt, I just have things that I would prefer. And so God knows my heart. And plus, that's Old Testament. Well, Jesus never, ever lowered the standard. I don't know if you know that. But he never lowered the standard, not just on giving, but on sexuality and all the things we just talked about. He actually raised it up and said, it's inside is where it starts, so repent if you're wrong. Let the light shine. And don't stop tithing of your life, but also love God, love others, be merciful, help people with justice. Don't ignore these things. Don't pick one. Well, that's really hard for me to do, so I'm just going to lean heavy on one side. No, he's like, love me with all that you've got. Well, I can't do that without you. Bingo. Yep, you need him. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you're like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it. Gosh, this was such a huge thing. I can't even explain it to you other than to say that you could become ceremonially unclean even if you didn't know there was a dead body underneath your feet. And he's saying, everybody who comes into contact with you is ceremonially unclean because you're jacked up. That sounds pretty exclusive. Sounds pretty harsh. He's being straight up with them. Look, I've got just a little bit of time, so this whole week, Kathy was singing this song, Creating Me a Clean Heart, not because she had done anything nasty or wrong. It was just on her heart. It was one of those little earworms, right? Just kind of going. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I was back studying and remembering this inside out. So would you with me? You can read it out loud if you want. You can just let me read it. But we're going to go to Psalm 51, and we're going to read most of it. And all I'm going to say, no way can the Holy Spirit be manipulated, but I'm going to ask that he would shed his light on us from the inside out. That if this is for you to repent, to cry out, to be honest, that you would hear it and let the Holy Spirit have his way in you. We're going to go to Psalm 51, 1 through 17. Holy Spirit, have your way in us, we pray. Show us your word. Speak to us. Thank you for this word from David when he was caught in murderous, adulterous sin. And rather than trying to hide it any longer, he asked for you to have your way in him. Do the same in us, I pray, in your name. Amen. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from the blood guiltness, O God, O God of my salvation. And my tongue will sing aloud your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. So Jesus goes off on these Pharisees. And he says, woe to you, you're fakers, you're pretending on the outside, you look real good, but on the inside, you're a mess. You need to be cleaned from the inside out. Talking about light. And I think he asked the question next of these lawyers, because they were like, you're offending us too. He asks, are you helping or are you hurting? He doesn't use those words, but I would ask you, are you helping people or are you hurting them? Well, I just don't want to offend them. Look, if they're dying in their sin, you're hurting them by not talking to them in love and coming to them and saying, look, you need help. And you can talk about how much you need help, but let's not just zone in on that they need help. Let's also point them to help. Let's disciple them. Let's share the word of God, the truth of God. And so, helping or hurting. So we'll finish Luke 11. 45 through 54. One of the lawyers answered him as he was going off on the... This just cracks me up so much. All right. There's so much. Teacher, in saying these things, you insult us also. All I can hear is good. I was laying it on pretty thick. But that's not what Jesus says. He says, woe to you, lawyers, also. You think you were, like, free from getting the woe? Let me explain to you something. You load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves don't touch the burdens with one of your fingers. You tell everybody what's wrong and what not to do, and you don't help them. So don't just hear me say if somebody is wrong that you go and tell them how wrong they are. Please remember that I had mentioned, not just knowing what was coming up, but this is the Holy Spirit putting things together, that you would go and point out what's wrong and what God requires and that only Jesus could do it. They were dead in their sin. They don't have to be anymore. In Christ Jesus, they can have life and have it more abundantly. And then you walk alongside of them and show them how. And you be honest when you're struggling. Jesus doesn't struggle, but these lawyers did. And so he says, "Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed. You want to honor these prophets, but your daddies killed them. So you are witnesses, and you consent to the deeds of your fathers, for they killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore, also the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles." The wisdom of God is Jesus. The wisdom of God is the kingdom of God. "I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation." Do you remember he started this whole thing, and this morning we talked about it. He says, look, this generation's evil because God is here in the flesh and they're ignoring him. Worse, they want to kill him. And that's what many, many people wanted to do with prophets. I don't want to hear that something's wrong. I just want to hear that something's fun or good or that Jesus loves me no matter what. A, he loves you no matter what. But B, he doesn't leave you in your no matter what. I mean, come on, church. This is not something new. This has been going on for a long time. And he's saying, you guys hate prophets. Well, the best prophet ever is talking to them right now. And they have a chance to repent. Watch. He says, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, which I think is so rad because it's A to Z. But they didn't have A to Z like we do. But it works today. How cool. So Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it will be required of this generation, all those. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. That's Jesus, the fear of the Lord. Cool, yes. But he's saying, you've taken away the key of knowledge. You're not letting people know who I am. You're pushing people away from me. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering. No, no, it's not Jesus only. Just be a good person. You can't be a good person without Jesus. As he went away from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press him hard and to provoke him to speak about many things, lying in wait for him to catch him in something he might say. They didn't repent. They tried to come after him. They were mad at him. And we know that later on, they killed him. You guys, sadly, we live in a culture where you can go and find anybody who will preach to you anything you want to hear. I repent of trying to just make us feel good or comfortable. I also repent of just trying to beat the drum of you suck and you need Jesus. It's not just that. You guys aren't just lame. You're image bearers of God, and he loves you so much. So what are you going to do with not just today's message, but whatever message? There are a lot of things you and I could read, a lot of things you and I could hear. What are you doing with the good news of Jesus Christ, his kingdom, his will be done, the exclusivity of it's only him? Josh and I were talking about this on Thursday. Yes, Jesus is super exclusive, but everybody ever needs him. So you want to know how diverse Jesus' people are? So diverse. Everybody has to enter through this little area, but his kingdom is vast. And we'll be talking about that in September. We're talking about exclusivity now. September, we'll talk about inclusivity. But hear me really clearly. Jesus wants you. And he's shedding light on you. So I'll read to you 1 Thessalonians, and then I'll pray over us, and then we'll go. you can definitely pray. Please remember that Pastor John invited you to come and pray with us on September 8th. Let you know a secret. We're going to get together every single week after that to pray. 5:30 to 6:30 on Tuesdays, probably. We'll let you know for sure. But 1 Thessalonians 5:15 through 22. Father, have your way in us. May we respond to you, not like Pharisees or the lawyers, but like people who hear your voice and want to follow you. That's a miracle from you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything, not just what you're hearing, but test your own heart too, friends. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. God, may it be so. May we remember that it is your good pleasure to give this little flock the kingdom of God. May we receive it. May we live it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.